works. Praise the Lord for it. John chapter 2 tonight, John chapter number 2, and taking a little break from our series that we've been going through. We come to John chapter 2 tonight, opening 11 verses. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The Gospel of John chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. The Bible says, on the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. He saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. If you'll notice, the Bible talks in verse number 2 about a marriage. In verse number 11, it talks about this beginning of miracles. Tonight I preach to you on the miracle at the marriage. The miracle at the marriage. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jesus performed many miracles during his earthly walk. And one may think that the very first miracle that he would ever do in his earthly body would have been raising one from the dead, or maybe opening blind eyes. However, this miracle before us is the one the Lord Jesus chose to perform first. Therefore, we know it's very important in God's holy word. Now, just in case you think I may be going somewhere with this, I am not preaching on why we know this wine was not intoxicating. Let me say this to you tonight. Somebody who tries to use this passage to teach that Jesus Christ made water into intoxicating wine does not understand Bible teaching. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. The Word of God is very plain that woe is he who puts strong drink to his neighbor's lips. We know that Jesus Christ is not going to do something in direct contradiction to a command that he gave elsewhere in Scripture. Now, I'm not going to take time to prove this to you. I'm in the process, God willing, of writing a book on why you should stay away from alcoholic beverages. Let me say this to you tonight. This is not the message. But it's going to offer, listen, it's going to be very hard to become a drunk if you never taste the stuff. Amen. Somebody says, it's okay as long as you do it in moderation. I said, I wasn't going to preach on this. Anyway, somebody says it's okay as long as you do it in moderation. Let me tell you something, friends. It is never the will of God for you to put a drop of alcohol to your lips. That's never the will of God. Never. Never, ever, ever, ever. Mark it down. This pastor is a pastor that believes that it should never touch your mouth. Somebody say amen right there. That is Bible doctrine. I'll prove it to you in one of the little booklets that I'm trying to write, okay? I know what you're thinking. I wish you'd hurry up and get it. Hey, just pray and ask God to, you know, light a fire under me or something like that. You know what I mean? But tonight, I want to focus on the story itself, because sometimes people put the cart before the horse. They see something that they think that passage teaches. Oh, see right there, Jesus turned water into wine. That has nothing to do with what this passage is teaching. It has nothing to do with what he's trying to get across. Nothing at all. May I say that this story here is a very, very powerful story. And in this story, we see 3 great truths I want to bring out for you. As a matter of fact, all 3 of these truths deserve an individual sermon. They really do. But when you put them all together, you see a beautiful picture of what this story is really all about and what the Lord Jesus is trying to get across. 3 things I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Number 1, as we consider the miracle at the marriage, first of all, let's notice the stone water pots. We see this in verses 6 through 10. I'm not going to take time to read it again. You can read it there if you'd like to do that while I'm just going through it. But these water pots here, the Bible says they were after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. Let me explain what that means. In other words, these water pots were used for ceremonial cleansing. They were especially used to wash the hands. And they were used for formal washing of vessels and even the outside of furniture. In other words, when they would come, they would have these large water pots to help purify the Jews. They were not to eat with unwashing hands, so they would use these water pots and the water in it to wash their hands with. They would wash maybe the vessels, maybe some of the furniture. However, we see, now get this, we see the Lord taking these water pots and doing something great with them. Now, what do we learn from this? Here's what I want to ask. What can we learn from these stone water pots? Now, there's three things under this first point I want you to see as we consider these stone water pots in this miracle at the marriage. Number one, under this, they were available. They were available. Here's what I mean by that. Why did the Lord use the stone water pots? Because they were there. That's why He used them, okay? Now, right here's the thing. Are you available for the Lord to use you any way He sees fit? Are you there? You know, there are some people, I hope nobody listened to me tonight, but I don't know your heart just like you don't know mine. There are some people, though, no doubt about it, around the world, I trust none here, but I dare say there probably are some here. Not judging anybody, don't have anybody in mind, but I just want you to focus on yourself tonight. There are a lot of people who come to church, but in their heart, they are not available. Don't ask me to do anything. I'll come, I'll listen, I'll grace you with my presence, and I'll honor you by warming my pew right here for you tonight. But don't ask me to do anything. There are people like that everywhere. You may tell you why some people are never used. They're not available. Can I say this to you? If you're available for God to use, He'll use you 100% of the time. He really will. They were available. And I want to ask you a question. Dad, mom, husband, wife, teenager, child, are you available? The stone water pots, they were there, and God used them. Number two, they were not only available, number two, they were accepted. What I mean by this is the Lord didn't turn them down. Let me say this to you tonight. If the Lord will not turn down a stone water pot, He's not going to turn you down either. He will not turn anybody down who will say, God, I'm not much, but You can use me if You want to. They were available. They were accepted. Number three, they were adequate. This means they were enough. Let me say this to you. This is true. In other words, did God use them to perform this miracle? Yes. Were they sufficient? Yes, they were. But get this. This is only true not because of what they were, but who used them. Did you hear what I just said? These water pots were not adequate because of themselves. They were adequate because of the one who chose to use them. And may I say this to you, that Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Somebody who says, I'm nothing, God can't use me, I agree with half of that statement, that you're nothing, neither am I. But I disagree with the other half, God can't use me, that's not true. May I tell you that God is in the business of taking nothings and doing something with it. He really is. Again, I emphasize to you, this is one reason, no doubt in my mind, this is one reason the Lord has led me to be the pastor of this church, because I have such strong weaknesses in my life. I'm serious. I'm not just saying, it's the truth. I mean, I've stuttered so much this today, it's ridiculous. As a matter of fact, if I didn't stutter so much, my 30 to 40 minute message would be 20 to 25 minute message. You understand what I'm saying? Because I say it over and over again. I'm saying I have shortcomings. I really, really, that's the second time I've used that word today. But anyway, I have a lot of shortcomings. I really do. And I thrive. I honestly thrive when somebody says, don't ask me to do that because I can't do it. I don't have it. I can't do that. I thrive on things like that. I know somebody else who thrives on things like that. God. He really does. Because the fact of the matter is, listen to me, if these water pots could talk, some of them no doubt say, hey, look at me. Boy, look how strong I am. This is why He used me. Hogwash. These stone water pots will say, you know, I can't believe that He just did through me what He just did. These stone water pots. You maybe say, I'm nothing. Neither were these water pots. And may I remind you that Moses had a talking problem. Jacob was a liar. Abraham was apparently too old. Peter was afraid of death. Timothy had ulcers. Read it. He had ulcers. Naomi was a widow. Jonah ran away from God. Noah got drunk. David had an affair. Gideon and Thomas doubted. Solomon was too rich. David was apparently too young. Paul was a murderer. Elijah burned out. Jeremiah was depressed. Lazarus was dead. And God used every one of those people. He really did. Some never make themselves available because they don't feel adequate. And the fact is, nobody's adequate. But God is. He's only looking for somebody who's available. That's what he's looking for. And if you make yourself available, he will accept you and he will make you adequate. You see what I'm saying? This is the stone water pots. Number two tonight, let's notice the servant's work. The stone water pots, now let's notice the servant's work. This is found in verses 7 and 8. Let's read these verses again. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He saith unto them, draw out now and bear it unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. The Lord gave these servants a command. He gave them a command in verse number 7 to fill the water pots with water. And the Bible says, and they filled them up to the brim. Verse number 8, he said, now draw out and give it to the governor. And the Bible says, and they bear it. In other words, they obeyed. Now there's three things about the servant's work I want you to see. These are so simple, it's almost embarrassing to bring them out. But I want you to ask yourself this question when you think about how you serve Jesus Christ. Is that me? Is that me? Is that me? The servant's work, number one, was obedient. The Bible says, and they filled them up and they bear it. Jesus said, fill them up, and they filled them up. Jesus said, bear it out to the governor, and they bore it out to the governor. You know, let me ask you a question. Are you really living in obedience to God's commands? You know what the Christian life really is? It's a life of obedience. That's all it is. That's all it is. I'm reading a book right now by Dr. Paul Chappell. As a matter of fact, it's the second time I've read through it. It's called The Spiritual Leader. I encourage you to get it. It's a great book, challenging book, wonderful book. God's challenged me with it, all of this. It's written to pastors, but it's good for Christians. There's no question about it, just different things about it. And in that, now keep in mind, this is a church that's much larger than ours. I mean, good night, they'll run, I guess, close to 4,000 on Sunday mornings. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Started with, I think, 12 voting members when he moved there many years ago, 12 voting members. And God has multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And here's what he says in his book, and this is what I'm trying to get across here. He said the emphasis at this church is obeying God. Just obeying the Lord. In other words, friends, listen to me. If you and I will just as an individual in our families, but since we're in the local church tonight, let's talk about this church. If this church will simply step where God told it to step, and do that when God says to do it, and make that step when God says to do it, and he says go left, and he says go right, if this church will unite just to obey God, there is no telling what will happen in this area. There's no telling. I'm serious. I mean, it's really, this, the servant's work was obedient. You know, a man tells a story about his dog here. It's told about this man and his dog. He wrote one day that he met a man whose dog had just been killed in a forest fire. Interesting thing about this is this man was heartbroken explaining to this other man who's asking him what happened. Because he had worked outdoors, he often took his dog with him, you see. And that morning, he left the animal in a clearing and gave him a command to stay and watch his lunchbox while he went into the forest. His faithful friend, the dog, understood, for that's exactly what he did. He stayed right there, and he was watching his lunch. Then a fire started in the woods, and soon the blaze spread to the spot where the dog had been left. But the dog did not run away. It stayed right there, and the fire burned him to a crisp. And the owner, moved by all of this, he said this with tearful eyes. He said, I always had to be careful what I told him to do, because I know he would always do it, even if it meant death. Let me ask you a question. Does God know that if he tells you to stay, that that's exactly what you're going to do? Does he know if he tells you to go, that that's exactly what you're going to do? You ever noticed how the devil fights against clear commands of Scripture? I'm not talking about stuff that you can't prove from the Bible. I'm talking about stuff that's clear. I mean, clear cut in the Bible. Do this, and the devil fights it. You ever notice that? Why does he fight obedience? You ever noticed how the human mind plays tricks on you? In other words, God says, hey, we've got a mission conference coming up, okay? So let's just talk about soul winning, all right? Now, we talk about that a lot, and as far as I'm concerned, we're going to keep talking about it a lot, okay? But let's just talk about soul winning a minute. Is it a clear command in Scripture that God has told us to go, yes or no? Yes, he has. Have you ever noticed how your mind starts playing tricks? I just didn't have time this week. I don't know what I'm doing out there. What if they say no? Wait a minute. The whole part of the Christian life is God has said go, I will go. It's that simple. You do it because God told you to. You see what I'm saying? And if he's told you to do it, he's going to help you get it done. Somebody says, I'm afraid to go. Join the crowd. But you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that even times when I don't feel like going soul winning, you're listening to me, you're not going to feel like going soul winning all the time. The devil's going to make sure you don't, friends. You're not going to feel like it all the time. There are times, listen to me now, there are times I would rather stay at home and not do anything. Now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are times I'd rather not get out. I'd rather not knock on doors. I'd rather not, not today. But you know what I've noticed? When I get out anyway, and I try to obey God anyway and start knocking on doors, I start feeling good about it. Amen. I start knocking on doors and God's Spirit starts saying, Here, let me challenge you with something. If God says go, go. If he says stay, stay. If he says jump, how high, sir? The servant's work was obedient. Number two, the servant's work was immediate. Immediate. We see this in verses 7 and 8. You see here there's no hint, none whatsoever. There's no hint at all that there was any kind of delay in their obedience. In other words, in verse number 7, Jesus said, fill the water pots. They filled them up. Verse number 8, draw out now. And they bear it. In other words, they were immediate. There were no signs of delay. Let me say this to you. Do you realize that if you pray about something God's commanded you to do, that prayer is now sin? Did you hear what I just said? Do you realize it can be a sin to pray? If you're praying about God, do you want me to go? And the whole time he's saying, why aren't you already there? I've told you already. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying this. When God tells us to do something, let us obey him and let us do it now. Immediate. It was obedient. It was immediate. Number three, it was complete. The servant's work. Verse number 7. Notice what Jesus said. He said, fill the water pots with water. He didn't say put it halfway, put it three quarters, put it 99%. No, he said, fill them up. Notice what they did. And they filled them up to the brim. You know what that tells me? That means they did it exactly the way he told them to do it. It was complete obedience. Let me say this to you. When he said fill them up, that's what he meant. That's what he meant. If they would have filled them up halfway, that was disobedience. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't say put them up half. No, he said fill them up. And that's exactly what they did. The servant's work was obedient. It was immediate. It was complete. God desires for his servants to be immediately and completely obedient to him, even when they don't understand. You think these servants knew what the Lord was doing? I don't know. I'm not going to say they didn't, but I'm not going to say they did either. All they knew is that they were wanting wine, and Jesus said, go get the water pots that they washed their hands with. Go get the water pots, fill them up with water. They didn't know what he was doing. In my opinion, I don't think they knew. I'm not going to fight you on that, but and so on, but I personally don't think they understood completely what he was getting ready to do. But they obeyed him anyway. Because here's the thing, he knows what he's doing. He really does. He knows what he's doing. And when he tells you to fill up the water pots, fill up the water pots. Be obedient, be immediate, and be complete. Number one, the stone water pots, they were available, and since they were available, he accepted them and he made them adequate for the job. The servant's work, they were obedient, they were immediate, and they were complete in what they did and what he asked them. There was a great violinist, and he wheeled his marvelous violin to a city of his birth. Interesting thing here is his only condition was that his instrument, his violin, would never be played upon. In other words, he gave it to his hometown city, but he willed it that nobody ever touch it, nobody ever play it. This was an unfortunate thing because the peculiar wood that this violin was made of was good as long as it was used and handled. In other words, as long as it was in use and being handled, it showed little wear. But as soon as it was discarded, it began to decay. And this violin that was beautiful had become worm-eaten in just a little amount of time in its beautiful case. It was valueless, except just as a relic, if you will. And see, this instrument is a reminder that a life that's withdrawn from a service for which it was created loses its meaning if it's not fulfilling the purpose for which it was made. This violin was made to be played, but this man didn't want anybody else's hands but his to touch it, and because of that, he sentenced that beautiful instrument to a life of decay instead of a life of making more beautiful music down through the ages. Don't be a violin that sits on the shelf. Be a violin that plays a rich melody until Jesus calls you home. The servant's work. Number three, let me end with this. We see not only the stone water pots and the servant's work, but number three, let's notice the Savior's will. We see this in verse number 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now get this. When the stone water pots and the servant's work were in accordance with his word, his will was accomplished. Matter of fact, there are two things he did that is his will all the time. First of all, under this, he manifested forth his glory. We see this in verse number 11 where it says, and manifested forth his glory. You know what this means? This means he showed who he is. He proved in this who he is. But you know, somebody showed me something in this. This has been many years ago. His name, Mr. Keith Kaiser. You know, some people shout, some people cry. I cry more than anything else when I feel God around. I've shouted a few times in my life and so on, and one time was when he was teaching on this in Sunday school, and I saw it, and before I knew it, I, whoa, good night. Glory. He looked at me and said, you see it? I said, yes, sir, I see it. I see it. Let me ask you a question. Who'd he prove himself to? Look at verse 9. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, notice, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Who was it that he manifested forth his glory to? His servants. In other words, the governor had no idea where this came from, but the servants who drew the water did. Do you see this, friends? What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that those who obeyed him and served him immediately and completely, they knew what he did. The world may not ever know, but his servants will. And he'll manifest his glory to them. Secondly, he not only manifests his glory here, the Bible says the last phrase, and his disciples believed on him. His disciples believed on him. You know what this means? This means that those who are already saved, his disciples, their faith was strengthened in him. You listening? His will is to show his glory. It really is. The will of Jesus Christ is to show his glory to his obedient, available servants. In order to increase their faith in him, so that they believe him, because he has greater works than these ahead. If you're not serving, you're not seeing these things. You see what I'm saying? He wants to use us to help satisfy a lost world. And here's what I'm saying to you. We are to pour the water, but only he can perform the miracle. Let me say that again. We are to pour the water, but only he can perform the miracle. And what I'm saying to you, what encourages me here is this. Those who got involved, those who said, I will not question, I will obey, I will do it now, I will do it completely, those who did that, they left with their faith strengthened. Because Jesus proved himself to them that here's what I can do when you simply obey what I say. You got it? You see it? This is the message here. The stone water pots are a picture of any of us, that if he can use them, he can use me. All we've got to be is available. God, here I am. If you want me to do it, my answer is already yes. I'm available. And if you're available, he will accept you in some form or another. He's going to use somebody like that. He really is. And he's going to make you adequate because you've made yourself available to him. And it's not you that's adequate. It's the power of God in you that's adequate. But yet you move to the servant's work. That's another picture of us. We're not to question him. We're to obey him. If he tells us to fill it up, let's do it and fill it up to the brim. Let's be complete in our obedience. Let's be immediate in our obedience. And let's just obey him no matter what he tells us to do. And a church like that, an individual like that, a family like that, the Savior's will be accomplished in that he'll manifest forth his glory to those who've been serving him. And his disciples will believe in him. So I ask you a question. When's the last time you have seen Jesus turn the water to wine in your life? When's the last time? I'll tell you one of the most encouraging things that's happened here I'm talking about as I've pastored this great church. One of the most encouraging things that God has really used in my life is when we prayed specifically for Sandy Cox. Specifically. And I felt impressed. Now I know that many of you all are praying for her too, and you felt like God answered your prayer too. But let me just tell you how God used that in my life. When I prayed right here, she was standing right there. She's getting ready to go in. They were pretty sure that it was cancer in her, all of this. And I prayed right here. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I just felt the Lord saying, I'm going to hear that prayer. I'm going to answer that. Now, my faith was going back and forth, I'll be honest. But when we got the call and I heard Charlotte talking to her on the phone, I could tell that it was not cancer. And God touched my heart. And like I always do, a tear came to my eye. And God spoke to me directly. And he basically was telling me, I know a lot of people were praying, but I want you to know something, son. I answered your prayer. You say, Jody, what's the point? Here's the point. The point is that God wants to manifest himself to us. He really does. He wants to prove who he is over and over in our life. He wants to show us again and again how powerful he is, what all he can do in our life. He wants to perform miracles in our life. And all he's asking us to do is be available, obedient, immediately, and completely. That's all he's asking. Can I say this to you? We all don't have the same gifts. I understand that. There are things that I'm gifted to do that some of you are not gifted to do, and vice versa. There are things that you're gifted to do that I'm not gifted to do. And there are things that some of us cannot do like others, but all of us can get in on one thing. You know what that is? We can all obey God. We can all obey him. Now, I try to be a simple preacher. And this is ridiculously simple tonight. I know that. But I want to ask you this question. Is there any area in this book? Now, nobody's perfect. All of us can raise our hand to this. But I'm talking about specifically, God has his finger on something. That's it, right there, right there, right there, right there. That's it, that's it. Is there any area in this book right here where God has told you to do something and you've not done it? I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. Far from it. But I can honestly say that I have a desire to live in obedience to this book. I have that desire. I don't always do it, but I do have that desire. You know what I've learned in my life? When I get in trouble, it's when I turn against what He's told me to do. May God help this church to see. It's not about the numbers. It's not about this. It's not about how much money's in the bank. It's not about how many people are in the pews. What it's about is a church saying, God, we will obey. If you tell us, we will do it. Have you really made that commitment? There are some people who will never tell God whatever, whenever, wherever. My answer is yes. Because they're afraid that He might send them somewhere that they never want to go. Lie of the devil, friends. God wants to use this church in a greater way than we've ever dreamed possible. But He cannot use it unless we unite and say, I will obey. Simple. Simple tonight. But it'll change our life if we just say yes to Jesus Christ. So I ask, how many of you in your heart, not your literal hand, but the hand of your heart, will raise a white flag and say, God, yes, 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 yes. I hope you see my heart in this, friends. This is what this local church is all about. Obey God. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true to You. Help us to understand that just like You use the stone water pots, You can use us. If we make ourselves available to You, You will accept us. You will make us adequate. Thank You, Lord, that You have given us commands. Now help us to be obedient. Help us not to try to add to it, take away from it, not to try to rationalize it. Just help us to obey. Thy will be done, please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're playing through softly. I want to ask you, number one, are you sure that you're a Christian? Are you positive that you're born again? If you do not know for sure that heaven's your home, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible. We'll share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you because you're a child of His. And you say, Jody, just like those stone water pots were available, I want the Lord to know that I'm available. Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about this. It could be that you're already doing things, but God is really just putting His hand on this to say, you know, just be available, just be available, just be available. And I will choose what I want to use you for. It wasn't the stone water pot's choice to be used that way. That was the Lord's choice. But they were there for Him to choose that for them, don't you see? This is what I'm saying. Have you say, Jody, would you pray for me that I'll be available? Whatever He wants me to do, wherever He wants me to go, whenever He wants me to do it. Say, God is speaking to me. Would you pray for me that I be available? Have you, God is speaking to you in that way. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Be an honest person. God bless you. Thank you. Have you not say, Jody, I'm a servant. Oh, how the Lord's really dealing in my heart about just being obedient. It's not about trying to rationalize this. It's not about trying to figure this out. It's not about trying to put my life down and say, well, am I capable of doing this? Am I able to do it? God never asked you to put your life down and say, are you capable of doing it? No, He simply said, will you obey me? Will you trust me? Will you do what I've told you to do? Have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me about just living a life of obedience. This doesn't mean that you're disobeying. It could be that you're already obeying and God's coming down and patting you on the back saying, good, good, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. I don't know how God's dealing with you, but you say, Jody, pray for me that I'll just be obedient. Whatever God tells me to do, that I'll just obey. Maybe God's speaking to you in that way. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Say, God's speaking to me that way. Yes. Well, that's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it, but I want you to listen to me just a moment. You know where you start? With whatever God lays on your heart. You say, what do I need to do? I don't know. God does. Go to Him. Ask Him. He'll tell you. And whenever He tells you, obey. Just obey. No doubt about this. May the Lord help us. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, use it in a mighty way. Bless now, I pray. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? As Brother Gary sings, come now and say, God, I'm available. I'm available. Help me live in obedience. As Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do it?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence day.
Jody, what can I do here? Now, you understand this applies to your family, this applies to your own life, but since we're at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and I was applied to this local church, you say, what can I do? How can I get involved in obeying the Lord? There's all kinds of ministries on that ministry wall out in the lobby. Every one of those ministries exists to help fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Every one of them. Somehow, some way, those ministries are put together to help us win people to Christ, disciple new converts, and teach them in everything God's told us to do. Get involved in one of them. Don't get involved in 10 of them. Find the one God wants you to do and put your whole heart into it. May this truly be a church that just obeys God, obeys the Lord. I've hit this same nail over and over again. Well, let me hit it again just in case you missed it. Let's obey God, friends. Amen. May the Lord help us with this, okay? Let me go ahead and dismiss all of those going to the cancer ministry. If I can do that, I'll let you get a head start. If you're in the cancer ministry, you're going to the chapel. God bless you for that. If you have a visitor's card with you, please take it to the Welcome Center. Thank you for being here tonight. Hope you'll be back on Wednesday night. Ask God to meet with us in a great way. Let's pray and ask God to help us and be with this church. Keep us faithful to Him. I want to ask Brother Steve McNeely, sir, if you'll lift your voice and pray tonight, please.